That's great. Thank you very much, Susie. And I'm going to hand over now to Kirsten, who will introduce our pupils from Scottish secondary schools in City of Edinburgh and West Lothian. Kirsten, over to you.
Thanks so much, Betsy. Thank you so much to both of you for that input. I think it's really sort of set the scene in terms of the wider policy context, the ambitions of the Target 2030 Action Plan, and there are some fantastic ideas and policies and, as we said, ambitions in there to realise. But of course, the most important people in this discussion are the learners themselves. So I'm going to stop sharing my screen for just a moment, and I'm going to invite the young people who've joined us today to unmute, if I may. And what we're going to do now is to invite them to share their thoughts on what they've heard so far by giving us a flavour of what learning for sustainability means to them, what it's like currently for them in terms of the learning that they're currently engaging in their settings, but also their thoughts on learning for sustainability once they leave school. What does it mean for them as part of their future lives, either in further or higher education or in the workplace? So over to you. I'd like to invite, we have Bill and Ted, we have a pink flamingo, we have Dina, and we have Stella. So over to you folks. Let's hear your thoughts on all of this.
Hi, so I can go first.
That would be great, Pink Flamingo. Thank you.
Perfect. So just for some context, I at school do advanced higher drama, advanced higher music, and a baccalaureate in expressive arts. And I think that I do see learning for sustainability throughout my education and throughout these, although these subjects, maybe their curriculum and the SQA exam curriculum doesn't have this focus on quote unquote learning for sustainability, I still do think that through my education and through my coursework, I'm able to see the correlation between the both and how that really links into the drama society, plays, and the theatre world, as alongside music and like the music industry. And I think that that is really powerful. And although I think there is definitely places in which I know it's limiting because obviously we have to teach towards an exam, especially in the older years, I think that there is definitely gaps that can be filled with more input from teachers in how, especially in the arts, how learning for sustainability can be used. Alongside from my actual subjects, I also run the anti-racism group, the Borough Pride group, and a founding member of the Rights to Rector School group. And I really see the correlation between learning sustainability and equalities, as I think that they are both really, I guess, kind of founded on core values of compassion, of love, and of really awareness of the society around us. And I think that they kind of both come hand in hand. So if you educate for one, the other one will come with it. And if you foster feelings and emotions and like thoughts of compassion and of awareness, you'll find change in a student's mindset and in a student's importance and respect for learning for sustainability. And another thing that I have to say that I think highlights how important learning for sustainability is, as for me personally, in my personal experience and my peers' experience, a young person can get very lost in, one of my peers can get very lost in how helpless it can feel, especially with social media, with doom scrolling on your phone and seeing stuff like presidents in America saying drill baby drill. You lose so much hope, and you don't know how you can do and how you can help. And I think that's something that's really, really important. And so for learning for sustainability and this education of how we can be more sustainable and how we can be a better citizen, and how we can make change in our lives, that and that changes other people's lives, I think is really important in building hope in young people, as hope is the only thing that is going to make young people and us really feel like we can make change. And so that kind of replies to the first question. And my second, replying to the second question, I do think what I've brought from school and what I've brought from education will be really helpful for going into higher education and in the industry. Hopefully, I wish to go into the industry of drama, and I'm going on to study drama at the University of Glasgow. And I really think that my values, not only branching off of compassion and of having hope, I just think that it's going to be in a progressive society where we are being more sustainable and learning how to be more sustainable, me having this information and me having this knowledge about learning sustainability will give me a leg up in the industry of drama, and will make me more appealing to not only kind of employers, but also in making change in theatre, as I believe that theatre can be a very, very good tool in making change in society. But I think that concludes what I've going to say, but thank you so much for listening.
That's amazing, Pink Flamingo. You've raised some really interesting points there, particularly about the importance of values like hope and compassion when it comes to education. I just wondered if any of the other young folk on this call want to come in on that. That obviously we've heard Pink Flamingo's description of what learning for sustainability has looked like for them, but what about the rest of you?
I can elaborate. If Great. You can, forgive me if you hear any like purring or sloppery noises. My cat is like crawling all over me right now. So
I'm my best essential part of these calls. You've got to have a cat.
She's lots to weigh in. I think that, yeah, well, what you were saying about like hope and compassion, I think is a thing that we've talked about a lot for like my courses. Obviously this is kind of an easier question from you because I do a lot of like English, history, modern studies especially. This is a big conversation that we have where it's like we do a lot of studying where we look at like real life situations as like case studies and evidence marks and KU marks, and the reality of the situations that we study tend to get kind of lost on us. It's very easy to read about how, like in geography, it's very easy to read about how, for example, this earthquake devastated this many people and resulted in these effects, and kind of lose the substance of it. Because we've been like, what you were saying about social media, it also just means that we're very like desensitized to all of this. We constantly have a very large flow of information coming in that just kind of numbs the senses of like, oh, another terrible, terrible thing is happening. I don't really have the time or capacity or energy to think about it. And making space for things like that in subjects, especially like geography, like modern studies, where I know my teachers at least are very like into doing this, but in class where you're maybe not, like making space for these things and being like, oh, I know that we're learning this so that you can answer it in the exam, but just to like break the fourth wall a wee bit, this is a real thing that's happening to real people and will have a real effects on our world. Like, yeah, having hope and compassion and making time for it and being able to point it out to people, I think is really important. And I don't think we have enough of it, because again, like you were saying, you really just covered all basically everything that like I agree with, where you get so lost in the sauce of just like exams that you lose the content of what you're studying. And because we kind of lose that emphasis on content, I feel like implementing sustainability in any subject gets kind of significantly harder. I think that you need to be implementing it pretty much wherever it can be, which is everywhere, even in like subjects that you wouldn't really expect. I mean, like, obviously, if you've got like geography or something, you're going to be learning about climate change and methods to fight it and things like that. And maybe in modern studies, you can do some self-study. But like in other subjects, even things like English or maths, being able to think of like, how do we make this practice more sustainable? And also, this might seem a bit like a diversion, but I promise I'm getting back to the point. The word sustainability also just means like to be able to continue something no matter what the circumstances are. With the world that we're going into with like climate change and all these things, we need to be able to like be looking at these subjects and being like, okay, how do we adapt this to this new world that we're going into? And that also just teaches you life skills. That just teaches you adaptability, but most importantly, it teaches you sustainability, which we're going to need to know pretty much everybody in the near future. Oh my God. Sorry, someone's crawling on the screen. And yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I'm mostly just responding to all of Pink Flamingo's points there because they're all really good. But I just, pretty much TLDR, I think that we need to be really making an emphasis on this in every subject that it can be, not just like social subjects, and putting more of an emphasis on context and content and knowledge and things like that.
Fantastic. I think there's some really, again, some really great points there, particularly this idea of making space for learning for sustainability. And I wonder if I can bring in Bill and Ted at this point in terms of your thoughts on what's been said already, but particularly on that point of the exams. So the exams, it was mentioned by both Dina and Pink Flamingo that this was something that seems to almost inhibit learning for sustainability, that sometimes the focus on learning for sustainability has to change because of the requirements of exams. So yeah, Bill and Ted, what are your thoughts on all of this?
I think the others have hit the nail on the head. The exams, I don't think it's just merely the exams. I think it's, for us, it just seems like it picks up at, wouldn't you say, like S3, it just picks up. It picks up and then you just can't stop. Even in S2 is a start. So it's just S1 and S2 is the time when you have the generic choices, and then it just picks up, and then you're left at the end of S6 wondering how the hell you just spent 4 years of your life. I don't know. It just, the S1 and S2, I think, is when it's most important to get this stuff out to people, because if they start getting into just the habits, if they don't have the knowledge of it and aren't intrigued in it, they'll just still go do the same things. They might not be more encouraged to pursue stuff in this. It's more just a lot of people go out and find stuff with else, but there's also a lot of people who sort of succumb to the peer pressure. It's like, oh, my friend is doing this, I should do this too, so we're all together. But if you have people who get in that mindset too much, and they don't really know what they're specifically doing, they might miss the opportunity for lots of sustainability things.
So like in S3 and S4, you don't really have time to sort of engage people in sort of sustainability and learning sustainability. So you've sort of got to get them early while you can, so that you can engage them and get them interested while they have time to really put effort into it, instead of just focusing on exams and feeling like you don't have time to put effort into stuff like that.
And the doom thing that was being mentioned, that's another thing which I think I've seen, and I think you have too.
Yeah,
the people who think, oh, it's happening elsewhere. It's just, everyone's always, the mindset is generally people are just going about their things.
So especially in Scotland, it would be because we're so far away from it all,
and we're isolated, sort of isolated, and either go back to Europe disgraced or kind of have to. There's not really, I don't know. It's just people look at the sensationalist stuff, and that might include stuff about sustainability, but it'll include just the select things that'll be like the hooks. It's like people might know about Trump's idea to keep drilling because that's sensationalist headlines. You might not have lesser things. It's like, oh, there's another tsunami or something in Indonesia. That's not going to make the headlines unless it's severely big. And so people will just think, oh, it's somewhere else, rather than things ourselves. I think the storm that hit recently was probably a shock to a lot of people, because it's just not had this for a while.
It's here. So I think a lot of people would feel like the consequences are happening elsewhere. So in like Indonesia, Africa, and sort of America, and that we're just so far away and sort of disconnected, it just feels like it's not really part of us, even though it is, and it's catching up to us. It's sort of our fault.
Having lived in a place and having had to respond to an evacuation order because of a hurricane, personally, there is just like a whole nother sense. It's like people here might be like, oh, it's a hurricane. You're just going to get some stuff battered up. It's like, okay, there's evacuation orders. Lock your stuff down. Take what you need. Go. It's not just like some lofty thing and then people slowly trudge out. It's just.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine these awful situations if you've never been put into sort of anything remotely similar. So it's sort of hard to get yourself sort of really engaged if you don't properly know what you're fighting for.
But if you get yourself sort of too deep into it, you do end up doom scrolling, where you're just like looking through the things like, oh, looking at casualties, destroyed wreckage. You're just looking at the things and your mind's no longer processing what caused this. You're just like, oh, this is so horrible. Why aren't these governments doing anything about it? It's like the government is not, I mean, the government can do stuff to stop it, but it's the people themselves who have the power to be able to work on stopping this, because the people, as have been proved by, I think, so many instances in the past, the people, when they have a will and they are informed, they can pressure the government to help and make things better. So I think that where we need to start is informing people, and schools is probably the best place to inform people as to this school, as to the things, but also having had a learning sustainability program that occasionally happens at our school, you need to have it well integrated into the system, or else it feels like it's been foisted upon people. It's like, oh, I have to go to the class. We're doing sustainability stuff in math today. We have to calculate the calorie that is in each of these things and how much the eco waste and stuff from this. Or if you have it already integrated in it. It's integrated in geography, but it's just a topic. It's like, oh, we're doing
too deep in, so it's more like about exams and learning figures and stuff.
Yeah, when you do the climate stuff in geography, it's just a course. And it's like looking at the stuff in the course rather than like finding the information out, because people will, they need their stuff for the exams. They'll look at the stuff as far as they need for the exams, and that will, I think, more desensitize them, because they're like, okay, this is something I need to do for the school. So if you're, even if you do manage to integrate it well, you don't want to integrate it too well that people just don't think about it as
integrating. Well, sort of over.
Well, sort of like what it is with geography is, it's just, if it's just treated as part of the course and not as anything special that actually needs to be that needs to be learned. Whereas if you integrated it, that's what I would think integrating it too well into the things. Like, it's just desensitized. It's just desensitized to the whole situation. Whereas if you made it stand out enough. But not, I don't know, I can't phrase this. Do you guys get the idea what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah. And what I'd like to do is, I don't know if our final young person is in the room. I would like them to unmute if they are. But if they've not managed to join the call, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi.
You are here. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Margaret. We'll call you Margaret for just now. So a lot of what I'm picking up, and I hope I'm picking this up correctly from all of our contributors so far, is this need for system change within education, that the way things are structured within how you learn sometimes inhibit learning for sustainability in its truest sense. So I think it was Dina that made the point about sustainability in itself implying that we want to keep things as they are. We need to go beyond that. So I wonder if we could get some thoughts from you, Margaret, about that idea of changing education. You know, what would it look like if you had a blank sheet of paper and you were designing a curriculum from scratch, or an approach to learning, or a system, in order to make sure that learning for sustainability, not just learning about sustainability, but learning for sustainability with all of its skills and its values, as well as the knowledge stuff, what would that look like?
Well, for me, I am quite a literature-based subject, whereas I do have friends who are more STEM-based. So I would say sustainability would need to be incorporated in a range of different subjects to make sure everyone gets the same exposure to it. So, for example, in physics, I know that they learn about renewable energy, and that can be really closely tied in to sustainable learning. But for me, I do think exams are important, but it is very much people learn for the exam, they sit the exam, and then they forget what they have been taught because they don't have the exam anymore. Whereas I feel with sustainability, we could try and make it a bit more of a practical hands-on, which makes it not only not a break from their other subjects, but it does make it contrast and stand out. It can be seen as more something that they'd enjoy doing. They'd set their other subjects, but sustainability in itself can also be a course, which is a practical course. And at the end, I would love to see it also be a qualification, but not one that requires an exam. One where you have to put evidence forward of the work you've learnt about sustainability and what you've done, but also to keep it local, because I do agree that we do see any of the large disasters that happen in the world through the news, but I'd quite like to see it a bit more specific to our own area, Scotland, or even more specific where we are in the community or environment. So that could even be day trips or trying to find areas in the community where we can do park cleanups, things like that, just drill in the message that it does affect everyone everywhere in Scotland as well, as such as our water resources are world leading. We have great water and we'd love to keep it like that. And it is important for young people now, because we are the future, to be able to know how we can apply sustainable learning into our future careers.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Margaret. There's some really interesting points there about that sort of place-based approach to learning for sustainability, that sort of taking it down to a local level. That might help, I suppose, with some of the overwhelm that we sometimes feel with the big picture stuff, you know, that sort of global overwhelm of some of the issues that other contributors have mentioned so far. Does anyone else want to come in on that point about the system structures in schools, particularly in secondary schools, and, you know, if you had the chance to redesign them, what would they look like? I'll bring in Dina first, if that's okay. Sorry. Dina, over to you.
I have thoughts on this. I've heard from, like, my dad teaches at Edinburgh Uni, and he says that he has, like, a really big problem with this, him and a lot of the other people on the faculty, where what they do, in especially in Scotland, we have this problem where after maybe like S1 and 2, like, you know, Bill and Ted were saying, after S1 and 2, it just really, they start teaching you basically solely about exams. And I hesitate to even say about exams, I don't even think that they really, they're not teaching you content so much as how to take an exam. So, like, what he talks about a lot is that, like, the first term, he'll get first year students who will write him essays. And he's like, where did you guys learn to write essays? Because this doesn't make any sense. Like, academically, if you submitted this to anyone else, they would be flabbergasted. What is this? Because, like, just SQA structure for a lot of essay-based subjects, I can't speak so much as to science-based ones, because I don't have, like, the capacity for that. I'm mostly an essay-based subject person. But I know for a lot of essay-based subjects, like, the structures they make you follow don't really mimic real academic essays or anything like that. They've kind of built their own structure, and they really drill you on how to follow that. So it's, like, quizzing you on how to take an exam, how to follow instructions, how to work under pressure, which are important skills, but I think that that just means that they really, really, like I was saying earlier, they really just do miss over actual involvement with your subject at, like, anything beyond a surface level, where maybe you're learning how to analyze information, but you're looking at, like, a source in history or modern studies, and you're thinking, okay, how do I put this into an exam context? Not how do I put this into a world context? So, like, some of the, again, forgive me, seems like I'm going off the road, I promise, I have a point.
Not at all.
Some of the best teachers I've ever had and the best courses I've ever had are ones where they basically have forced me to engage with the content I'm learning beyond the exam curriculum. Whenever, like, my best mods teacher I've ever had, who like sat us down when we were doing reliability of a source questions, where you look at a real political, like, advertisement or a claim or a study, and is forced to say, like, forget about the exam, is this useful to you at all whatsoever or not? What are your first impressions? And I think that just really speaks to how useful exams are as a method for teaching. I've come away from those classes with much more than I ever have with any teacher who's been really good by SQA standards, but maybe just not really engaged with the subject or made me engage with it as much. So not to like beat the same horse that we've all been beating to death, but that's kind of just the main thing. They teach you about how to take exams, and it just means that you come away with a very surface level understanding of the subject, even subjects where important things like sustainability, like Bill or Ted was saying earlier, like geography, where you learn about climate change, but it's purely what you need for an exam and very rarely what you would need to engage with it in a real world context or even just an everyday context. Like I missed a lot of that last bit because my audio stopped working, but from what I did hear about, like on a community level, you miss out on how to engage with the subject at a baseline everyday community level, which is so important considering the lack of connection that we have nowadays with our communities in this new like digital age that we've been coming up in. So that's all I have to say. I don't know if it makes much sense.
No, I think that was incredibly eloquent. Thank you very much, Dina. I think that's you posed some really good points there that, you know, does the way that the exam is structured and the fact that in secondary schools, to a certain extent, beyond the broad general education, we are teaching to the exam. Does that inhibit anything more than a sort of cursory examination of the subject matter at the expense of, you know, actually going any deeper so that you can get through the exam? Any sort of final comments on that from you, Pink Flamingo, before we finish this part of the discussion and open up the floor to everyone else?
Well, I totally agree with all that Dina's saying, and I think that it's a really hard one because I really agree, and I think that we should be learning in our subjects how this relates to society and how this relates to the world that we are going to eventually go off into and are in. But it is really hard because our society is so reliant on exams of how you go into university or how you go into college or employment. And so there needs to be more of a change in the SQA's curriculum. And that is something that we definitely should campaign for. But just final notes, I'd urge that it's really important that it is that you're doing lots of the things that Dina said that their teachers does about kind of including the stuff that you're learning for this exam is relevant to the real world and is relevant to you. As teachers are teaching pupils to be members of society, to be members of to be flourishing members of society that make change and that are able to undo some of the kind of mistakes and stuff that has happened in the past, which has made us lead down this road to being kind of very like to having climate change and to stuff like discrimination. And so I just urge kind of bring that importance and raise the stakes for that, because I do really agree, and I think Dina had some great points there.
Great, thanks Pink Flamingo. What about you, Margaret? Any final thoughts from you?
Oh yeah, I completely agree with what's been said. And I do think it is important that we are linking our learning back into the real world kind of terms, and that the exam structure could be made more applicable to that with a deeper content. And it is always good, because I know myself, I agree with Dina, that my best classes are when I've got a teacher who's extremely passionate about what they are teaching and makes it have a deeper meaning and a deeper context. And I do know that at my school, we have had the debate, are exams necessary or are they important? And the outcome was that they are, because when we're applying to university, how do you compare your qualifications if they're not exam level to other people, if you're applying somewhere down in England, if you don't have the grades to show it? But at the end of the day as well, the grade is it's a letter that you use to get into further education, but it's also the knowledge that you need to have behind it. And we did raise the question that they definitely should revise exactly what is the content being taught, and that we could make it a little bit more interesting into the modern day person and for future careers as well, because there are future careers that haven't even been created yet, and hopefully that will include sustainability careers. So we do want to think forward and think into the future. Well, what is relevant and what's important to teach for these future generations? But we do think exams are important for getting us into the future, but it's the knowledge that we build and the interest that we develop that are also equally as important.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And Bill and Ted, any final thoughts from you? Or Ted and Bill, as you now are.
I had to switch devices. It's coming up as the last person saying everyone else hit the nail on the head. I do think the knowledge, the curriculum, there's the curriculum and then the teacher gives us the curriculum. But I think the teachers who are much more effective teach the curriculum. There's people who hand out stuff with textbooks, or there's the people who make it fun and engaging. And I think definitely the more fun and engaging teachers, I can recall the information afterwards. I find the classes much more interesting. I look a lot more forward to those classes rather than just like I have maths again. Not that I hate maths, I love maths a lot, but it's just the teacher makes the pupil want to engage in the subject, even if the pupil doesn't acknowledge this. And I think that is one of the things that a lot of the really charismatic teachers who might not necessarily be teaching the sustainability stuff, but they would be, I think, some of the perfect people to get some of the information across. Like in our school, there is two teachers who everyone's always like, yeah, when they get them as a substitute, because they always really love these teachers. And I think the charisma of the teachers could help get a lot of stuff across. And that I think that sustainability could be applied to all subjects. And if you could do that, you have the charismatic teachers in each of those subjects that could help get this across, so that everyone would be guaranteed to get unless they had really, really, really bad timetable and had none of the fun teachers, then they wouldn't engage so much, they wouldn't get the learning. But if you get a charismatic teacher who has the learning, even if they have a smaller part of it, you might be more interested in looking it up afterwards. Like some of the stuff for history, I have a massive book purely on one topic because I just found that topic so engaging, the way the teacher is presenting it. And I think you could turn that to the ends of getting sustainability focused, you'd have so many more people who are interested and intrigued by it.
So I think if you were to combine what everyone's saying with sort of teachers who are really passionate about a subject or what they're teaching, teach it a lot better and engage students more. It makes me think that you need to actually engage teachers as well as students in learning sustainability. So you're not just trying to get the pupils to enjoy it. You need to get the teachers to be passionate and want to teach it and talk about it.
Yeah, that is a really good point. I didn't think about that because, even if you have a charismatic teacher, they have to have the things that they're like, I have this class now, I have to teach. They probably have the same sort of things. You've got to get them engaged. I did not consider that. That's a good point.
Fantastic. Well, that is probably a really good point on which to close the discussion solely with our student contributors. But I'm going to open the floor now to everyone else in the room to consider a couple of questions that I'm just going to pop in the chat, which is sharing your own ideas and experiences about how we can realise and support learner voice, the importance of it, and how can we support and encourage and celebrate that learner voice so we go beyond the tokenistic. And I think that last point from Bill and Ted about ensuring that our educators are equally engaged and confident and passionate about learning for sustainability is a really, really strong one. So before I open the floor, I'd just like to say a huge thank you to all of our young people here tonight. You've really inspired me. I've been scribbling away here, and I'm sure I can speak for the rest of the room when I say that everybody else is probably equally as inspired. So thank you. It's fantastic to hear from you.